It selfishly, it feels really good.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I could keep making videos for other people, but yeah, that does not feel as good as what I'm doing right now. Like, this is actually like, I'm changing things. Mm-hmm. I'm making an impact and I have so much more control.
Yeah.
And this is so much more fun than what I was doing before.
Okay. So we have Lizzie. Do you go by Lizzie or Elizabeth? Because your real name is Elizabeth, right?
My real name is Elizabeth.
But I'm so used to calling you Lizzie.
Everybody calls me Lizzie. Okay, it kind of just happened because when, this is a funny story, when Facebook became a thing and nobody trusted it.
What's Facebook?
And nobody trusted it because we're like, what is this website? So I didn't want to put my actual name. Right. So I put Lizzie. And then everybody, when you add friends, that's how everybody knows you. And so I just became, like, it's just Lizzie now. I've had problems with clients where they put Lizzie on like plane tickets and I'm calling them at the last minute going, I'm so sorry, I did send you a different name, like that is not my name. But yeah,
so have I have a problem,
but I like both, so you can call me.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, how would you I'm curious, how would you describe yourself right now? I like asking this question because it tells me a few things, I think. Like, how?
Okay, I am a video producer by trade.
Mm-hmm.
However, now I'm definitely more of a YouTuber, photographer / business owner right now. We wear a lot of hats. I say
you,
we,
because
I'm sure you're in the same boat right now. Yeah, my life is all about online marketing right now, and that is something I did not know anything about before the last like 6 months.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wear a lot of hats.
I like how you said I'm more of a YouTuber, which like tells me that you're like, you're not still like totally cool with saying I'm a YouTuber, or are you?
Yeah, I think a lot of people struggle with that. It's like saying I'm an influencer. I don't think anybody loves saying
my
that.
Favorite is public figure.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Sorry for everybody who has public figure on Instagram.
The name precedes us before they meet us. Yeah. And so it's, and I don't think that for everyone in the online educational space or in the creative space especially, it describes us accurately. But now more of my daily life is around being a YouTuber.
And you have a big channel. Like, how many subscribers do you
have? I have a big channel, but not as big as yours. I think I have like 230,000.
That's a good amount.
It's good. Did I ever think I would have that number? Absolutely not.
You're one of the biggest. Are you the biggest female in the filmmaking space? No.
No, there's no way. I'm well known, I think, because of the Dope Squad thing, whatever that is.
Whatever, yeah.
And it's, you know, Chris and I are married, but I have no idea who would be. I mean, when I think of like the biggest females in the tech space, I think of like iJustine, or I think of Sarah.
But
or
do you consider yourself in the tech space or the filmmaking space? Also, sorry.
I know there's.
Can you turn off the air conditioner? Sorry for all you listening. We forgot to turn off the
filmmaking.
Air conditioner. Filmmaking space or tech space? Which are you?
Definitely, I would say I'm more filmmaking space.
Yeah, so that's what I would say too.
And I know, but they kind of blend.
That's true. But I think iJustine, for example, is more in the tech. Like, I would say she's a tech YouTuber.
True.
But when it comes to actual, like, you're more filmmaker.
That's true.
I think you are one of the biggest for sure. I don't know.
I feel better about myself today.
Yeah, no.
I'll have to do some Googling. I mean, there's Valentina V, but she is a little more.
But she kind of does all sorts of stuff too. I bet she wouldn't call herself a YouTuber, I bet.
She wouldn't call herself a YouTuber, but she would call herself a filmmaker DOP for sure.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's got slightly slightly different titles.
Is that weird? Like some context.
Yeah.
Some context for you. Like my channel, I don't know, but I'm curious actually to hear about your channel. My channel is, I think, 95 or maybe even 98, something like that. 95% men.
Yep.
Like my audience is all men.
Yep.
And so like it kind of makes sense that there would be less females making YouTube channels also, I think, maybe.
But you're like, I think maybe, but given my tweet yesterday, maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah, right away somebody, like I tweeted, I was like, I wanted to have some more women on the podcast, especially in my genre. It'd be cool to talk to more women. And like, I think like it like right away, like almost struck a chord.
It's a common question. It's kind of like, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
Like, are there more male? Do you have a higher percentage of males on watching your videos because there are more male filmmakers? Or, you know, is it the other way around?
Is it just men are, for some reason, more interested in and filmmaking than
women? Why did that happen to begin with? And I think my best guess, I'm no Melinda Gates, I don't have the stats on this, but I think it's because, I mean, with my channel, I think right now it sits at about somewhere between 80 to 85% male. Mm. But it started off around 95% like yours, and it's changed. Mm. Kind of, I think, as I grew into my own and how I wanted to present myself online, and also getting comfortable as a female in the space and being like, yeah, I like this, but I am a woman and I can have really nice nails and talk about cameras.
Yeah.
There's, and not to say that you have to be a woman to have really nice nails. You absolutely can, no matter who, how you identify.
I think my nails are garbage.
we can work on that. It's okay. But, you know, just owning it, I think, is a big, is a big part of it. And sometimes, like, I shot a video a couple days ago where it was about like natural light product photography.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what would be fun for me to shoot? And I was like, skincare. I love skincare.
Yeah.
Because now I'm really excited about the photos I'm taking and I'm excited about showing the product and like thinking about all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that I think is why my numbers are probably different than yours.
Mm.
In terms of why more women, there are so few women, it would appear in our space. I think it's just because of how we've grown up and women weren't necessarily told to be or influenced or like, it's very subtle how more women end up in these jobs that are more like care-based with children or with, you know, about like they maybe want to be doctors or nurses or, 'cause that's kind of how we're groomed.
Yeah.
So I don't think a lot of times when we're young, it's introduced or nurtured.
Mm.
So you're arguing like, do women, it's a nature versus nurture.
Yeah, of course. And I don't think we can probably answer that.
No, but I think like, nurture plays a part. And totally, I think that we'll 100%. See that change for sure.
Nothing is like, everything is so nuanced too. But I'm curious for you, does it then feel weird?
All the time. like when we're at the weekend at the cottage that we had, was that last summer now?
Yeah, that was last summer, yeah.
That's
Peter organized like a little dope squad. First time actual.
Yeah.
Whatever dope squad is.
Yeah, whatever gathered that is. Like together. When I show up, I'm like, cool, I'm the only girl. Sick. But then I realized, you know, we're all friends and I roomed, like Chris and I and Alan and Jesse roomed together and we all like brushed our teeth together. Yeah, and in that respect, like I don't notice the difference in gender.
Yeah.
But it is, I do think there are more women that aren't necessarily getting the attention that they deserve.
Mm.
And I try to find ways to encourage that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of women also don't want to present themselves necessarily the way I did online because they don't think they're good enough.
Mm.
Like there's a statistic, I don't remember the exact number now, but women wait, I think, until they feel like 90% qualified to actually like apply for a promotion. Whereas men, I think, apply when they feel like 60% qualified.
Sounds accurate.
And I think that tells you a lot about the different ways that our brains work and why it presents itself this way. And I mean, we know that there are a lot of skewed statistics based on the number of, for example, like African-American people that are pulled over and arrested and why that happens. It's not because they're actually breaking the law. It's just because of bias.
Yeah.
So
this podcast is getting heavy fast.
I read a lot about this stuff because it keeps me up at night.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think you're kind of like forced into that position, or at least to think about it, right? Whereas like,
it's the only reason I'm doing this in a lot of ways. Like, yeah, this is my job, but, and I'm very transparent about the fact that like, I never thought I was the best photographer, videographer, producer.
I don't think any of us are the best.
But we're all like, okay, I have some knowledge to share. Yeah. And mostly when I saw Chris starting his channel and I saw you and I saw Peter, at a certain point of watching these videos, I was like, wow, there's a lot of bros. It's a lot of male energy. And I'm like, there should be more females. And
it's an opportunity,
like,
right?
Why not me? Yeah. And why can't I be that example? So
here
I am.
So you and Chris, so if people don't know, you are married to Chris Howe. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome. How did, so you guys started in video production together?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, how did give me some of that backstory.
We met in school. He was my frosh leader. I feel like I've told this story so many times. I don't know how much you know about it, but so he didn't give off like the best first impression when we met, because it was my first day. It was frosh, and yeah. My first introduction to the school, to the program. He was drunk and wearing a cape, and perfect. I was like,
this is the guy I want to marry.
Certainly not my thought. He tried to say something to me. I don't remember what he said, but I remember being offended by it. It didn't go well. And right. So it wasn't until like 2 years later. The short story is he sent me a message over Facebook. We went out for coffee, and the rest is kind of history after that. He just started introducing me as his girlfriend, so I just rolled with it.
I guess.
But what I really admired about him at the time was he was already freelancing. Mm. So he was in the grade ahead of me. And he was already he already had clients. He already had government corporate clients. Yeah. And I was like, well, first of all, props. Mm-hmm. Second of all, why the heck am I not doing that? That's yeah. so smart. And so I think
were you already into like video stuff at that point? Or
yeah,
or?
Our program was centered around broadcasting, so okay. more like TV broadcasting.
Yeah,
but I didn't really know what I wanted to do entirely. So I was delving into a lot of different things like audio production. Editing. I really loved editing. I still love editing. Don't do it as much anymore, which is kind of sad. Mm. But and a lot of producers, TV producers, film producers come out of that program. So I kind of thought that was the route I was going to go.
Yeah.
But then when he was, you know, actually going out and shooting and editing, I was like, oh, why am I not doing that? I could totally get my own camera. I could totally do this.
I'm totally better than Chris.
I didn't think I was better, I was just like, it just gave me an idea. So I think after
that inspiration,
we'd been dating for maybe 4 months, and I got a Canon T3i for classic. My birthday from my dad. I knew I could always get my dad to help me buy like a new camera or tech. So if it was like a new laptop or yeah, he loved getting that stuff. And so I was like, Dad, I really want this camera. And he was all like, you should take a class and learn. I was like, no, I don't need a class. And I think by maybe 2 or 3 months later, I was doing little odd jobs here and there. If Chris needed another, you know, a second camera on his set, I would show up. If he needed somebody to edit something, he knew he didn't have to pay me that much because I was just starting.
Yeah.
And so after not too long, he realized that I didn't suck. And then we started working together more and more. But by the time I graduated, we were both freelancing. We'd worked a little bit together here and there, but not a lot. Then I started working at another video production company when I graduated from university. And I left that job as a junior producer, but I did a little bit of everything. And while I worked there, it was like a crash course in how to properly do things. Like, you learn a lot in school, but until you actually get into the real world,
you learn
changes.
A lot more actually being on set. Then.
Exactly. And so I was managing larger budgets. I was working with much bigger clients. Like, I was working like Canadian Tire, for example. That's the only one I can think of right now because it was so long ago. But I learned a lot, but I did not like working there at all. Mostly, I did not like my boss. I actually have a whole video on that. And I talked to Chris and I was like, I don't want to do this. I know that you can't keep doing what you're doing because you're maxed out in time. But I know you already have some clients. So what if we like join forces? I can totally revamp our video process. I can absolutely revamp like our whole business process in itself. And let's just start, like, what better time than now? I think I was 23, maybe. So what am I going to wait till I'm almost 30 to try this?
Yeah.
You know, when I have a lot more on the line, let's just do it now. So we did. And that was obviously interesting for our relationship, as well as the business did really well.
Yeah, it's always the don't work with like family members and stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. We weren't engaged at the time. We weren't living together yet. But it was an exercise in communication for us personally.
For sure.
And it definitely opened our eyes to where the other one excels in a filmmaking sense. So I think doubled or tripled our revenue that year. I don't remember, but we were just like, sick. Yes. Look at us go.
Yeah.
And then
We've made it.
And Chris met Peter. Rekindled his relationship with Peter. And we met you, and the rest is kind of history after that.
What were like the biggest reasons why you're like, okay, we have this like thriving business, you're making decent money and all that, and then you're like, let's try YouTube, let's do YouTube. What was like the catalyst for that?
I was probably heavily influenced by Chris at the time, but we were learning how to, in our business at the time, we're making great products for our brands. We were making great assets for them, but we wanted to offer packages on how to market it well and how to make sure that content gets seen. So we were already kind of doing that.
You make
that.
A really good video and then they have like this like YouTube channel with like 5 subscribers that they put it on and nobody sees it. Like, so yeah, that was a waste of money for you because nobody saw it.
So we thought, let's strategically position ourselves as the production company that can also help them market the video. Mm. And so we had a few really great, I don't want to say test subjects, but they weren't really tests, but a few really great examples of doing that. And so growing our own personal social media accounts was kind of an exercise in that as well.
Yeah.
And we knew that we wanted to travel more. We wanted to work with tourism boards more. And having larger accounts kind of worked as a good partnership. So they were always we saw that a lot of influencers at the time going and traveling to these destinations, and we wanted that. So we saw the opportunity for kind of a little bit of a strategic partnership there, but I don't know. And we knew that you could get sponsors, and that was like, oh, that would be like a cute little side income, you know, like it's not like you bank on that potentially. We had no idea. Like we didn't know how that system works.
Yeah.
And then what do you do after that? Like, is that the end game? I don't know how to, like, this is just so foreign. So you just like dabble, you just try and Chris started his channel and it was doing really well. And then I kind of, you know, got a little heated that there were so many boys in the space. And I was like, I'm going to do this too. And then it's really rewarding seeing the impact that it has, that you have on people's lives online. Totally. And the influence you have to really inspire somebody else. Mm-hmm. It selfishly, it feels really good.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I could keep making videos for other people, but that does not feel as good as what I'm doing right now. Like, this is actually like, I'm changing things. Mm-hmm. I'm making an impact and I have so much more control and this is so much more fun than what I was doing before.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why things have shifted. But we do, our favorite jobs are, I would say, working with tourism boards.
Yeah.
When we can deliver assets for them, video and photos, and we get to make post on our socials and make our own stuff. And
It's really interesting how everybody seems to have the same like progression of like you learn stuff in the filmmaking, photography, whatever, and then you get better and better, and then you start getting paid, and then you move up kind of that ladder.
Yeah.
And then you realize like, oh man, like, I wish I could do my own, like, you know, like you kind of, you want the control, like you
used to
work.
Why do we always want more? It's so annoying.
That is true. But it's like it's more, I think, at least at that stage, it's more of the freedom that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Cause you use the word control, like you want to control over like what you're
making. And that
tells
you a lot about my personality right there. A lot of people use the word freedom. I'm like, but it's my decision.
But I would like to control this.
I can control it. Yeah.
It's really interesting how that, and there's some people I think that get to a level in the filmmaking space where it's really hard to walk away from that.
Yeah.
Like I just had Mark Bone on here a little bit ago, and him, he was starting to reach such a high level of like directing for bigger companies or DPing for bigger like Nike's, these big, you know, it's like the dream companies to have on your resume kind of thing. It's hard to walk away from that.
And so sounds really good.
Yeah.
But then when you go through it, you're like, is this really what I wanted?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
There are great aspects to it. It's really fun. But then at a certain point, you're like, wait, I'm just kind of doing the same thing over and over again. I'm playing it's almost like you're playing somebody else's game.
Yeah.
Versus when you start your own brand, start your own channel, whatever, you're now playing your own game, you know?
Yeah.
Which is totally different.
Yeah. And I think for our personality types, it keeps it exciting. I think we just get bored. After a couple years, we're like, okay, now I did that. I could keep going. I can see how I could keep going and this could be really great, but I kind of want to figure something else out now and have a new challenge.
Totally. I relate to that a lot. What was when you started? So you started your channel a little bit later, or at least more seriously than Chris.
Yeah.
What was the hardest thing for you? Like, start. Was there any like super pain points where you're like, or was it just? Yeah. It was just the getting the guts to like, okay, I'm gonna do this thing.
Yeah. It was hard to decide. It was hard to dedicate the time to it when there wasn't really a lot that I was getting back. And that's like with anything.
Yeah.
It's hard to justify it. And especially when we had this business that was doing well, like, why would I take time away from that? Yeah. And that's what's paying me right now.
Yeah.
So there's obviously a lot of weight in, you know, where your livelihood is coming from. As far as, you know, with our relationship, there's a lot to navigate too, because then it's like, who's going to work on this business thing that we don't really want to work on right now? There's problems with everything, you know, but the hardest one that I still struggle with today is the constant comparison. This is great for your podcast. The constant comparison that Chris and I have side by side that I think we both struggle with, but like obviously
you
more
guys
me.
Comparing yourselves Everyone to is, each other or
no, like
other
audience.
People comparing you guys.
Yeah. Other people, of course, are going to look at our stuff side by side. And there is a lot of overlap because we ran run the same company. We live in the same household. We did a lot of the same projects and they look at our videos side by side and like there's gonna be comments about that and it's hard when we do that enough to ourselves.
Yeah.
And I always have this person who's gonna be with next to me all the time that they're gonna look like back and forth at us. So
is it like the, oh, Chris did this, you're copying Chris, and then Chris gets the, oh, Lizzie did this, you're copying Liz, or what's
not
the...
copying, but
or Chris is better than you or Liz is better than you.
It's usually a better. It's usually a better. Yeah. And sometimes, like, it goes both ways.
Just straight to, like, the most, like, childish.
Oh, yeah, they don't
like,
care. Yeah. It's like, I liked his better. Or I liked yours better. And I'm like, no one's asking. Mm. Like, nobody cares. Or, like, if he gets credit for something that I actually did or if he gets a job offer that I would have really wanted, for example.
Oh, yeah.
And so now that we've done it for a while, it's a little more playful.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got emailed by a car, an electric vehicle car company. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it yet.
It's fine, yeah.
But I'm trying to think if I'm allowed. And
don't name names,
but I walked into his office like, you're going to be so jealous right now. And he was like, what? I'm like, I never get this moment. And I'm like, you would have loved this job. And I just like relished in it. So now it's more playful.
Yeah.
Whereas at the time it's like, I'm really sorry, but I really want to do this job, you know? And you have to be careful.
Yeah. You guys have a very interesting situation. I don't know of anybody else that's in that same situation where you guys are both doing YouTube, but you're doing your own channel. Same niche, same house. It's like you guys have a content house.
Yeah.
Except it's...
Except we have to do double the work.
Yeah.
It's awful. It really wasn't efficient initially.
What do you guys have, like, separate areas of the house that you
Literally,
guys have, like,
he
this
has,
is my space, this is my space?
We have a hallway on the second floor. It's really funny. His office is on one side, mine is on the other, and in between is...
You drew a line in the ground.
We drew a line in the ground.
This is your area, this is mine.
Yeah, we'll be, like, the West Wing or whatever. And then there's a bathroom and our laundry room, which is kind of awkward on laundry day for everybody.
Yeah.
But that's what's happening right now. During the pandemic, it worked fine. It's a little crowded right now because we're redoing that bathroom and laundry room. So it kind of sucks on that second floor right now.
And you guys both have employees, right?
Yep. Chris has a full-time editor. I have a full-time editor. I have...
Oh, okay.
Josh.
Yeah. Tyler's a fan of your editor.
Oh,
clearly.
Yeah. He loves Josh. Yeah. Everybody loves Josh. He's really, honestly, I think people like Josh better than me, and honestly, I don't blame them. Josh is awesome. I have a VA, but she's in the UK, and then I have someone.
What's a VA for
a
those
virtual
who don't
know? Assistant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I also have, I really don't know what to call her yet, but she helps me with my TikTok and email strategy.
Interesting.
My marketing gal could not fit regular TikToks into my schedule. If that's what you just learned,
yeah,
it's impossible.
That's like, I'm curious. What do you think right now with this like short form video revolution? Do you feel the pressure that you have to go that way? Do you just enjoy it and you're going that way, or what's the?
We have to.
Yeah,
I think Yeah, the pressure was there. And then I think I thought, okay, let's see how long I can go before having to do that.
Yeah.
And you notice it immediately. You notice the change in your numbers immediately. So mm-hmm. I was just like, okay, I have to do this. And you try to keep up on your own and then you just can't. So something's got to give. You have to hire somebody. Yeah. And it's stuff I have to think about when I'm shooting videos or when I'm traveling, you know, mm-hmm. shooting extra content on my phone and yeah. how to organize it and make sure it's accessible and writing out different ideas for that and improving it. Like, it's a whole beast in itself. So yeah, it just added a lot to my job. Thank you so much. TikTok and Instagram. Thank you for that.
But do you're watching now. Do you have you figured out a way to do it in a way that you enjoy it, or is it still like you're trying to find your
And it's cool when one picks up. I'm still trying to figure out like what kind of content people want to see from me, and I've been doing TikTok consistently for like a year and a half maybe. Mm-hmm. Trying a lot of different things here and there. It's fun. Like anything, it's a fun challenge. It's a different form of content. You really have to wrap. I mean, it's like when we started YouTube, it's like, mm-hmm. okay, how do I get this across? What do people care about in, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, if I'm going to go that long, which I rarely do. Mm-hmm. How do I position the content? What's my thumbnail going to be? What's my title going to be? And it's that, but like even more condensed now. Mm-hmm. And that's why people love it. Like, you get that dopamine hit and that information and it's so accessible. So it's fun. It's fun to figure it out, but it's more time and I'm reworking my brain in a completely different way once again. And so it's easy to get intimidated by it, but we have to treat this, in my opinion, like a business at the mm-hmm. end of the day. We're in the business of, you know, inspiration, but teaching educational content. So we got to reach the people however they want to be reached.
It's very interesting. Like, I struggle, like if I wanted to grow the maximum potential right now, I would obviously basically switch like at least 50% of my time to just making short form videos.
Yeah.
But there's also part of me that's like,
I don't want it. No.
Yeah, kind of. Like, there's a bit of that. Like, I don't want to do it just because everybody else is doing it because it works. Like, it's not just like everybody's copying. It's just that's what works with the algorithms right now.
Yeah.
And so, and then there's also the other part where, like, when I started YouTube, I just made videos because it was fun.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, okay, there was definitely business strategy and stuff like that. But I didn't know, like, oh, this is going to be a good video. This is going to be a bad video. I just like, oh, that's interesting. I'll make a video about that. And I just like made the video without really thinking about it too much.
Yep.
Now it's like, oh, but what's the thumbnail going to be? I can't make that video. I don't know what the thumbnail would be. You know, like, it's like, how am I going to clickbait that in a good way?
It really messes with your brain.
it makes it less fun. Like, more naive you are, the more fun it is, because you don't even realize that you're making a stupid mistake.
Yeah.
You're just making stuff.
And I think you were a consumer of that information before. So I think like what you found interesting is what other people found interesting. So now like we're kind of removed from that a little bit, which makes it harder for us. And so having Josh, and he's really invested, like he watches a ton of content. It's great for me to talk with him because
that's awesome,
he's also a little bit younger. And so he gave me the idea for one video I had called, and I did a tutorial on how to make your own like Portra 400 look. Mm-hmm. And I was like, are people really going to care about that? That's what they want to see, is like recreating this. And I was like, you know what? You seem really keen on, that sounds fun. I can do it. And it did really well. And then I gave it away as a free preset and I was like, cool.
Yeah, perfect.
Thanks. You know, so there's no way for you to know all of that information yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it takes like, we always have to go back to our audience and ask them what they want. But yeah.
Do you, I find this, at least for me personally, now that I haven't been on like legit, I have quotations going up, legit sets and stuff like that, and doing purely filmmaking, it gets a little bit harder to also teach about filmmaking or to kind of like show the way when you're getting a little bit rusty in a way. Not rusty, but like, you know, you're not in the thick of it anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas you used to be.
Yeah. Chris and I had that exact conversation a couple weeks ago where we admitted to each other, we were both kind of feeling like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. Like, how many hours are there in the day? Like, we're trying to do so much. Like, we don't just sit around, guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you start to feel like the imposter syndrome just sets back in. And so we do have to find ways to keep that fresh and do more. Now, if we get a job offer, usually I'll ask them, like, would you mind if I shot something behind the scenes while doing this? So then it's kind of a two-in-one. And I'm like, it'll benefit you because you're getting more promotion for whatever your thing is.
And oddly enough, a lot of those companies say no. Yeah. And you're like, are you sure? You don't want
the way the world works?
So I'm telling you, I'm going to give you free advertising. Yeah. And you're like, no? Okay. My theory actually on that, my theory on that actually is that the client would probably want that, but the agency doesn't, because it's essentially rendering the agency's kind of useless, right? Because you're already creating the content. Yeah. And now you're also having the distribution and like that. What does the agency do? You know?
I know.
And I think the agencies are scared of that, right? Like, whereas they should be embracing and making a part of their model and like using that. But they're like kind of scared of that because that used to be their thing, you know?
They're in the business of being the middleman.
Yeah.
And if they lose that, they lose everything. Like, how do I delicately put this?
Without angering
everyone watching who works at an agency or owns one. It can be very hard to work with an agency because they are somehow they just make the process more complicated for us. Always. I'll just leave it at that. Always.
The way, because I don't work with any specific agencies right now, I can say this. A lot of agencies have this miraculous gift of sucking the life, the soul out of any project. Nice. and you end up with this empty shell and you're like, well, that's kind of what I said, but there's no life to it anymore. Yeah, not like at
all. They just squeeze it until it dies. Yeah. And they're like, here you go. It was all our idea. Yeah. I'm like, I can see that. I don't even know.
Is that too harsh? Did I say that too harsh? It's
Chris
tricky.
Is having a lot of stresses with something he's working on, and I wish I could tell stories. But I can't, 'cause I'm thinking of a lot of things I can't say.
Yeah.
But they just have a very delicate way of sucking the life out of a project because they're just too they're focused too much on whatever like information they're trying to get across, like whatever their key points are, and like you're forgetting how this is actually going to sell and how this is going to come off.
Yeah.
For a consumer.
I think there's a little bit of like. You forget that like the best thing would be to make the best product, right? The best video overall.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit more complicated because then there's agency people who have roles and jobs and they need those jobs and they need to play their role and they don't want to lose their job, so they want to play it fairly safe most of the time. And so like if an agency said they wanted this, we have to do this. Instead of like telling the agency, if a client tells the agency we have to do this, they just like, we have to do this, you know? Whereas it would be better a lot of times if they're like, hey client, like we actually have this really cool idea that we think would be great.
Yeah.
Is it cool? It doesn't. We won't have your colors everywhere. You know, we won't have the can on the table, but we think it'll be really good.
Yeah, it's like it's a one-sided conversation.
Yeah.
So it goes like client, agency, if we have our own manager, agent, whoever as well, and then there's us for everyone that doesn't know necessarily how that works. And the agency is just telling us whatever information they have from the client.
Yeah.
But when we voice our concerns or we have ideas or we want to bring something to their attention that would, by the way, only benefit the project.
Yeah.
They never pass it along.
Mm.
And it only creates more confusion, more problems, a worse product, more time spent on it than what needs to be. Always on our end, by the way.
Yeah.
It's incredibly frustrating.
But there is, I agree.
And they take a huge portion of whatever the budget was.
Yeah, exactly. But there is a difference, I think, when you have your own brand versus if you're just freelancing. If you're just freelancing, it's 100 times worse, I think, because you have no power anymore. You have no leverage, essentially.
Yeah.
Now that you have your own brand, you can kind of like leverage your own brand. They want Yep. They want their brand to be in line, aligned with your brand.
But I don't even know if they know that all the time, because they're so used to working with freelancers or with another production company, and we're like bottom of the food chain.
That's why a lot of times, I don't know if you guys do this, but a lot of times if we get an email from a company, but it's through an agency, so it's like, hey, this company would, you know, want you to do this, but it's an agency emailing, I'm very hesitant to work on those projects. Yeah. Unless it's like, I really want to do this. If it's the brand coming at me and saying different. Like, yeah, completely different. And then sometimes they'll throw in an agency in between to actually like facilitate the project afterwards. And that like works out, but like you probably didn't even need that.
Yep.
But when it's the agency coming at me, I'm like, I don't know. This is probably, I know right away there's going to be way more deliverables. There's going to be way more asked. There's going to be way more like it has to be done this way.
Yep.
Whereas if it's the brand coming at me, they're like, oh, that brand likes my brand. They know that I do a good job and they just want me to do my thing. Cool. Let's do it. Like, it's a win-win.
And I've had situations where I'm working with the same brand. One time I worked with them directly, and then, you know, later that year I worked through an agency. When I worked with the agency, it was a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to think halfway through, holy crap, like, are they actually that upset with me, or is this the agency? I'm like, oh my gosh, this is definitely the agency.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they definitely just didn't show these second. To the brand. And then finally when they did, oh, it's all approved. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
And you're like, you just stressed me out. Made me do so much more work.
The worst is when an agency, like if you send, like, let's say now you send a video for a kind of like approval or whatever, and then the agency doesn't even show it to the client. And they give feedback on it.
Yeah, they do that first.
And it's like, oh no, like no, just like, but it's again, it's part of this like.
Can I put vodka in this drink? No, I'm just kidding.
Is this getting a little too therapy session here? there's, I don't know. I still don't know fully how to navigate brand deals and all of that stuff. I think it's something that we're all still learning. And dealing with, it's of course we're running businesses and that's one of the, like, a great source of income.
Yep.
But it does add a lot of, like, every video that I make, it's less fun to make it when there's a brand deal, just because there's another thing that I have to think about.
For sure.
At the very least. And then at the worst, it's like, oh, they're actually trying to control what I'm going to say. I'm like, no, not happening, you know?
For sure. I think when I realized at a certain point that, you know, we think, oh, we'll get older, we'll work with bigger clients, it'll be better, it'll be streamlined. And then you realize that, oh, it's as you get older, no, these are the same people.
Yep.
They are just like me. They don't know, like, we know what we're doing, but everyone thinks we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
And they're all just doing their best, and the same mistakes happen. Yeah. Nothing changes. So all you can do is have some kind of process on your end and look at, I mean, this is what I preach, something in place that you can fall back on and, you know, modify those contracts as you go, like protect yourself.
Oh yeah.
And do everything.
Make sure to read that contract.
Make sure to read that contract and do everything you can to be as clear as possible going into it, and always look at what you could have done to improve, you know, whatever went wrong, or, you know, streamline that process, whatever. Because usually there's something you could add, but nothing's perfect. Like, is it going to be perfect every time? Absolutely not. There's some issues we're never going to be rid of, like getting paid on time for one. That's never going to change. So how do we figure that out in our business? Like, how do we protect ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you end up charging late fees, you know? Sometimes I would have to threaten that in our production company, and then suddenly the money just appears.
Mysteriously, now it's here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel the pressure as now your channel is getting bigger and bigger? Do you feel more pressure now that the money is also getting bigger that a brand might be paying you? Do you feel more pressure now to, like, when you're making that video, to make it extra special, whatever, whatever? Does it change the game for you?
Sure. But I don't think, I mean, if I have standard rates, but if a brand was paying more, I mean, does that account for the production value that they're hoping for, or is it just like my rate for a video at this point? Like, there's two sides. But sure, if it's well paid, I do want to do a good job. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
But of course, like, it has an influence for sure. But if another brand pays me less, I'm not going to make a crappy video, but, you know, you're not going to get my ultra special package. You know what I mean? You know, you get what you pay for at the end of the day. Yeah.
Yeah, there's sometimes I'm just like, I would rather not get paid. Like a company will be like, here's a new product. Like, would you want to make a video on it? Yeah. We have some budget. And I'm like, I'd rather just not get paid and like not have any, no feelings of strings attached or any like pressure to make this some epic, you know, better than any other video I've ever made.
Yeah.
And just make a video for fun, like doing it the way that I want to do it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, I forget who said this, some celebrity or something. They're like, true success is when, not when you're saying yes to everything, but you're saying no.
Oh, yeah.
because you get asked to do a lot. And not only is it because you can't fit all of those things in, but you're being selective with your brand and also your mental health at the end of the day. Like, you get to do all these cool things, like go to F1. You and I both went to Saudi, you know. And so we're trying to think, okay, I don't want to be doing, you know, this is supposed to be me enjoying the trip. Yeah. If I'm constantly making deliverables, am I really enjoying my experience and getting to soak up what this location has to offer and then to be able to talk about it afterwards? Mm-hmm. Probably not.
Yeah.
So you have to factor that in too.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people ask, like, when do you know to put the camera down? Like, if you're on a trip, like, when do you know to just like enjoy the moment?
This timer goes off and then I just put it down.
It's funny for me. I think I actually enjoy a lot of moments more when I do have the camera out. And I end up doing, like, you know, for example, a few years back, we went to Norway and we got there. We had traveled for like almost 24 hours or something to get there to Lofoten, Norway. Get there, it's summertime, so it's 24-hour sunlight. Beautiful sunset, sunrise, whatever you want to call it.
That'll really mess you up.
Yeah. And we get there at 3 in the morning and we're like, should we go for a hike? Yeah. Like, we just like went for a hike. And I know we wouldn't have done that if we didn't have our cameras and drones and stuff like that. We'd be like, nah, let's just go to sleep, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, we got this amazing experience. And it was, like, the most epic sunset, the best one of the whole trip.
Yep.
And we got that. We went to this cool spot and nobody else there because it's the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And so, like, I find that I enjoy things a lot more a lot of times when I do have my camera. But when there is deliverables, when there's a brand involved, then it's like, oh, I have stress to think about what they want on top of like what I just want to film right now, what I think would be fun to do, you know?
Yeah, 1,000%. Because you're not thinking about, oh, can I make this as good as I can possibly make it and enjoy the process? And like now there's this weight on it, this pressure. And for some people that comes with like, even when I'm shooting things on my own sometimes, because I want it to be so good, even if it's just for a video that's not sponsored, I start getting intimidated by the own expectations that I set. And sometimes I just need to get past that and then I feel really good about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a constant struggle. And a lot of times there are so many sunrises I've gotten to see because I want to photograph them and I want to shoot them.
Totally.
And so I'm grateful for that because I am not a morning person.
Yeah.
And there are certain locations I remember completely differently because of how I've photographed them and the moments we've shared. And there's something like communal too when you're out with like a group of photographers and you're all or videographers and you're, you know, you're droning, you're shooting photos of each other, you're all helping each other out and you're getting each other hyped up. You're like, oh, this is so sick. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And it's fun. Like creativity is fun. It's the energy is contagious and that's why we all got into it in the first place. And so we're always trying to marry, okay, how do we get paid for what we do and still enjoy it? Cause that's why we started in the first place was like, oh, if I'm just shooting video all the time, this should be an awesome job. How could I possibly hate it?
Yeah.
Cause the same stresses are involved in every job. Like some have other, you know, some people's 9-to-5 perks are that when 5 o'clock comes, they stop working. Yeah. That is not a perk that we get. but we do get to work in some pretty cool locations. So that there's some other things. We get a lot of free gear. Awesome. You know, but so you're constantly weighing everything.
It's funny. Like you look around, like I have so much gear here. Like even that has like worn off on me now. Like it was so cool in the beginning when the company would send me new gear. I'd be like, what? This is so crazy. Now I'm like, oh, I have the newest unreleased drone. I have the newest unreleased this. I don't have these right now. I'm just giving examples, unreleased this and that. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of just more stressing me out.
Because like, now,
exactly. What do I, like, who do I give this to? Who do I, like, what do I do with all this stuff? Like, I'm literally actually going to, we're going to do a, like a meetup / NMO pop-up shop for the clothing line. And we're going to, whenever somebody buys a clothing item, we're just going to give them a random thing.
That's so cool. So, like, that's
could,
a good idea.
It could literally be like you get a gimbal.
Yeah.
Or it could be you get this random phone mount that probably has no service.
I think my family thinks I'm crazy because like my niece came over the other weekend and I'm like, oh, by the way, do you need a computer?
Yeah.
Or
maybe a backpack?
Yeah. And so I sent her home with a computer, like a laptop for my nephew and a monitor.
Yeah.
And she's, I'm just helping her put in the, to the back of her car. And she's like, thank you so much. I'm like, you're doing me a favor.
No, I appreciate this.
I appreciate this because I can sell it, but it makes me feel kind of weird. Unless for some reason that was like the payment for the job. And I can only have one cell phone, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I can only use one cell phone. So, yeah, I'd prefer to give it away in some capacity or donate it or whatever. But it's like it's an actual, like it's a task that takes part of the day.
It gets stressful when you have 10 packages. You're like,
it's an incredibly wasteful job. The cardboard.
and I realize what that's like. If I heard myself say that, you know, 6 years ago,
what
before.
A douche.
Yeah, exactly. That would be my like, what? You're an idiot. Like,
yeah.
I understand that. And like part of the reason I like saying things like that is so people realize that like it, like things, your life doesn't get figured out once you become more successful or once you have more social media following or get more famous or more whatever.
Yep.
Nothing there. Everybody's just as confused. Everybody's just trying to figure like Elon Musk is out there just like, I don't know what is going on with my hairline right now. Like, you know, he's just doing the same, it's just the same stuff.
It's very true.
I vividly remember still, I've told the story a bunch of times, when I before I started YouTube and I was like thinking about it, I saw, do you know Ben Brown, like a daily vlogger guy? Yeah. I saw him in Toronto Buffer Festival and I saw his videos. I'm like, man, that
was a long time ago though.
Yeah, that was right, so like about 6 years ago, right before I started YouTube.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing him like, man, he had like 600,000 subscribers or something like that. And I was like, if I had that, I would just be like set. I would be just cruising. I'd be like,
I know,
so comfortable, just enjoying life. And now I have over a million. And I'm like, I'm just stressed because I feel like there's so many things I want to do and I don't have time. And like, there's always something, you know?
Yeah. And I think a big thing about having over a million followers, and we've seen this, I'm sure, with you and Peter and, you know, many of our other friends, it's losing your anonymity is also a big thing that I don't think you really plan on. And so I am very content where I'm at right now. I don't, like, I've already had some instances where, like, I'm out partying with my friends. You know, once in a while I like to go out and someone's like, you're Lizzie Pierce. I'm like, I want to disappear.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
I am not. So like,
I don't know who that is.
And some people love it.
So you
Chris
don't.
Chris loves it.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
So you're
an introvert. Chris
I'm like
is more
half
of an extrovert.
Yeah. And so I love to meet them. Like another girl was in my like Orange Theory class the other week. And I was like, oh, so nice to meet you, whatever. Yeah. But when I don't want people to see me like inebriated, like that's not ideal.
This is not the time.
Yeah. And no, a lot of people think like with YouTube or, you know, being a TikToker or whatever, online famous, you're gonna, you know, your success is like getting sponsors oh my goodness, I'm gonna have these sponsorships and it's gonna be easy and that's my end game. And I'm like, but what happens when you get older and you're not the coolest young 18-year-old dancing on TikTok? Like what are you gonna do? And I think we think about that all the time, like what am I gonna do, how is this gonna evolve with me as my life changes? And that's just being a smart business person at the end of the day. How am I going to grow this as a business? And yeah, that's just like with anything.
With that, going back to the fame thing or like people recognizing you. So I don't think I get recognized that much. But every once in a while it happens. And before COVID, before the pandemic, I think it was starting to be like, you know,
so you hit a million like during lockdown. down.
Yeah. Peter gave me that last little shout out, and just like all of a sudden, I was like, wait, whoa, I wasn't ready for this.
You're like, could you have let me know? Yeah, I would appreciate it.
Thanks for the birthday gift. Nobody can give me this gift.
Yeah, but it was
literally on my birthday, hit a million. I forgot about that. The whole pandemic is a blur. But anyways, before that, I remember there was a few moments where I was like with my family at like the zoo, and you know, my kids are freaking out and like I'm trying to control them, and then some kid's like, oh, hey, you're Maddie. I'm like, yeah, like, yeah, you know, like, this is not the time.
Yeah,
you
kids
know,
are crying. Yeah. You're like,
but then now after the pandemic, I cherish those moments a lot more when somebody does come up to me and like, oh, I like love your videos. I'm like, oh, that's like, I don't know. I have a new appreciation just because we were so separated from other people for so long, at least here in Canada, we were in so many lockdowns and stuff. I have a newfound deep appreciation for people and just like, just this morning, I spent the morning with Peter's dad. I went over to his house. He's like, hey, I have something
What's
for
his
you.
Name again? He has Monty. YouTube. Monty. Yeah. I was like, Marty?
Yeah.
Monty.
He's like, yeah, you should come over sometime. And so he surprised. He made me a guitar.
He's so cute.
I know. It's like, it's incredible. Like, I appreciate it so much. It's like one of the, like,
he made you a guitar?
He's been making guitars for a while, but these are like the last guitars he's like making. And so he gave me one. And I'm like, this is incredible. Like, I would like, forget making a video right now. You know, you can easily get in that like, I should be making a video right now. Like, you know, my time is very valuable. Like, I need to get to making videos and get making money, you know? And like, there's no place I would have rather been there just chatting it up with Peter's dad and like asking him questions about how he makes the guitars. And like, he's giving me life advice. And like, I appreciate that. And so it's the same now. I used to think that the losing the anonymity part was like one of those things that I'm just going to have to sacrifice if I want to do this YouTube thing. And I'm very much an introvert. Like, I like my personal space, personal time.
Cool. So if you want to sit in silence together, I'm so
can
down.
We just sit here in silence for the rest of the podcast?
Yeah.
I like both, but like to recharge and all that, be by myself. But yeah, after the pandemic, it changed the way I look at that side also, that like, okay, some of this is actually, it's really nice to go to a different country and somebody's like, hey, I know you. It's like, oh, I have friends here.
It's crazy.
You know, that's a great feeling.
In Grenada, somebody recognized Chris and I was like, are you kidding me right now? What is happening?
It's a cool feeling that like for the most part, I think it's a cool feeling.
It is. If anybody is watching, please come up to us. Yeah. Don't just stare at us from afar. Yeah. We want to meet you.
In a cool way. Know when to exit. If my kid is freaking out, just say hi and that's cool.
Yeah, if you want a picture, just ask. Yeah. That's happened where people just like take pictures without asking you. And I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, every once in a while, my wife Princess is like, I think those guys know who you are because I think they're like, filming you. I'm like, I doubt it. Like, I'm always just like, I don't think anybody knows who I am. Like,
yes, they do. I think like a lot of people who do this job, like you can really lose your sense of reality and meeting fans or getting to know other, let's just go with influencers for right now. It's weird, especially if you know them from online.
Mm-hmm.
And that can, especially if you like look them up before and you know how many followers or subscribers they have.
Yeah.
So I'll make a point when I go on like press trips, I try not to look at who's going unless I hear like that it's you or somebody I know.
Yeah.
Because I want to meet them and know if I like them.
Before you judge them based on.
Before I see, their numbers. And like it's going to influence how you treat them.
Yeah.
And how you engage with them. And it's really hard for it not to because it's intimidating.
Totally.
Especially a little less for me now, but especially when I started. Like when I met Sorrel initially, I was like, oh my God, damn. She's so successful. I'm like, look at all her subscribers. And then I shot a video with her and I'm like, okay, I got this. But like, I was nervous for sure. Yeah, like it definitely plays a part, but now that doesn't affect me as much.
Mm.
But I'm like, I just want friends. I want to meet cool people. And if we're on this press trip, chances are like you're cool and we have shared interests and I just want to get to know you guys. And you know, we'll all connect online like later.
Yeah.
It's fine. So yeah, there, and we definitely meet some interesting people on these trips.
Very much. Like I have a great example of that. When I did the Saudi trip, so you did that trip to Saudi before I did, right?
I think I was the one right before.
Yeah. And then I went and I looked up, I did the thing that you said to not do. I looked up the people on the trip and I'm like, man, I don't know anybody from this trip. Like, I literally didn't know a single person, no connection to any, not no like, oh, I've been following this guy, no, nothing. And they were also like good looking and like fashion people and all this stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get along with any of these people. They're all going to hate me and whatever.
Yeah.
And then I went there and like, by far, I went to like my first Formula One race and like, you know, it was incredible. But by far the best thing from that trip was hanging out with those people, meeting them and hanging out with them. Like incredible people that I met. And yeah, it's funny how you even though we know like we're in this, you still fall in those same traps of like, you know.
It depends on the trip. Like the Saudi one, my group was great as well. But I'm always nervous, especially if you're more on the introverted side. You're like, are they going to hate me?
Yeah.
Or am I going to hate them?
Yeah,
I hate them. You know, not everyone's personality meshes.
Yeah.
But we were on another press trip. I won't say where or when, but like there were some people in the group that were just, we all had some challenges getting along with and they were a little inappropriate. It wasn't as smooth. Yeah, a little inappropriate. And so like you just don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's cool. Like those group trips are so much fun.
They're still great memories. Because
I went to camp as a kid. Mm-hmm. I have done, you know, those paid travel experiences with a group.
Yeah.
And every time it's with a group, no matter where you come from, no matter what differences you have, like you're on this journey together.
Yeah.
Same experience. And it's so fun because you've got like a dedicated group of friends that you're doing every activity with the whole time. And it's just, you'll always have that. So they're fun for that reason.
Totally. Sure. Yeah. Like you go through the hardships of travel and the good things of travel together. And so like,
especially with Saudi, you're like sleeping 3 hours a night and you're like, hey guys,
next thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but now like, I feel like I could message up any one of those guys and be like, hey, I'm coming to your country. Like, can I come to your place? And then be like, yeah, stay at our place. I feel like that's the, like, you know,
we know so many people like that we only see like a handful of times in our lives around the world that like wherever we go, we're like, oh, I got people to hang out with. It's great. Like,
oh, I know a person there.
I love that.
But it is also going back to that Saudi trip. I don't know how I'll share the experience. So
you're like, what do I say?
Talking about fame and having like not too many, like, you know, like there is like, I would say I'm not famous. There are certain people who definitely recognize me, but I'm not famous. And so majority of people have no idea who I am, which is great. But then there's some like YouTubers, for example, like a Logan Paul or something like that, who are going to get recognized everywhere.
Yeah.
And like there's a big cost to that. And I saw that in Saudi Arabia. So I don't know if you know Chunks and Philly. Yep. I didn't know who they were. Sorry, Chunks. Sorry, Philly. I didn't know who you guys were.
I didn't know who they were, but I knew that the guide was telling us about them. And then we all were talking about them. And it was a big thing that they were going to be on yours.
I didn't. Yeah. And like they don't have that. Like they have a sizable channel, but like not like gigantic channel. So I wasn't like, I was just like, oh, cool, whatever. And then I got there and like every kid was recognizing them. Like literally, I'm not joking. If 5 minutes went by without somebody not recognized, I would be surprised. Like it was all the time everywhere, to the point at the end where we were at the Black Eyed Peas concert. Literally, I and the other quote unquote influencers had to make like a human meat shield around them because kids were coming up the whole time, like trying to Snapchat or whatever, take photos the whole time. Chunks, Philly, chunks, like the whole time.
Yeah.
And so I literally went into bodyguard mode and like had to like,
I must protect my friend.
Yeah. And there was like a mom who got upset, like, because Chunks didn't feel like taking a photo at that time because he just wanted to enjoy the concert for a second.
Fair.
And like, he's just like, give me a breather for a second. And like the mom got super upset, like, how could you, like, fame's gotten to your head. And then Chunks turns around and he's like, hey, listen, like, you don't understand, like, you know, trying to explain. And then takes the photo with the kid, and next thing you know there's 50 kids around him and he's like, look at it, like, what do you want me to do now, like, what do you want from me, you know? And then the mom was like, oh, I'm sorry, sorry, kind of thing. And then, like, literally, I had to go back to, like bodyguarding. And you're like,
here I go. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's always positives and negatives to everything. Your life isn't going to be all great when you're more successful or this thing. Rainbows. Yeah.
No.
There's great things too, for sure. I don't want this to feel like it's just like a complaining podcast, but like.
But I think people always, there has to be some empathy for everyone in their own situation. Nobody's life is perfect. Nobody has zero problems. They're just different problems. And we were talking about this stuff, recognizing like all of the cool things we have going on for us. But nobody, like, you guys don't see this 1% that we're talking about right now. You don't see that stuff because it's not fun for us to talk about that online. It doesn't come off well. Yeah. So why would we?
Yeah.
But you know, it's a reality. And like, if this is something you want, then that's something you're gonna have to consider. Yeah. Especially with Chunks and Philly, who are with you like that.
Yeah,
they're next level famous. I don't know what famous. I would do.
Yeah.
I don't want that. And with that mom, like, you got to have a little bit of empathy, like, on both sides. Like, she feels like he owes her something.
So it's not, I don't think it's that either side is right or wrong.
No.
It's just both have their perspectives and they can't understand necessarily the other person's perspective, right?
Yeah.
Or it's hard to understand that.
Yeah. And also the interesting thing is, like, why does it have to be a picture? Like, why can't they just be like, hi, nice to meet you.
Thank you so much.
And then, like, know that moment happened and, like, not have a picture of it.
Yeah. A lot of times they don't even look at you. They're just like, can I take a selfie? And they're just paying attention to their selfie.
Yeah. Like, I went to see, when I was at Coachella and I saw Billie Eilish, I couldn't even see her with the amount of freaking phones that were in the air. And I'm supposed to be a millennial, like, I'm supposed to be the one with my phone up, and I just got like a video of my favorite song and then I put it down. And that was, you know, am I gonna watch that later? Like, what is the point? And I'm in the business of taking photos and making videos.
We're all becoming digital hoarders.
And I just think, like, it needs to be not strategic. It needs to be like a precious moment. Yeah. It needs to be something that, like, you're savoring and you're gonna actually use. Like, is it a piece of art, or are you snapping 1,000 photos that you're never gonna look at again? Yeah. So
what is the end game for you right now? You're
why did I success- know you were gonna ask me this question?
Did you prepare for this or something?
Kind of. Like, I thought you were going to ask me this on the way here. I was like, if you asked me that question, like,
I don't know what
to do. I'm like, what am I going to say? Sorry.
Well, right now, you're successful on your YouTube channel. It's still growing. You're nowhere near the end of your career. I'm starting to feel like I'm like, am I like coming to the end of my YouTube career?
I'm not sure.
It feels like
There's
definitely like a. There's a lull in a lot of areas, from like my views are lower, which is like, I don't really care about that much. But also I'm just like, I don't really know, am I enjoying this as much? Why am I not enjoying this as much?
Yep.
Is there a way I can fix that? Or is it just, hey, it's time to move on to something else?
Yep.
But anyways, you are doing well. I feel like you're still in the growth, I mean, you know, you're in the fun stages. What's the, is there a goal? What's the future? What's the end game?
Right now, like we were talking about, I think it always changes. Right now, I'm in the business of, like, I'm inspiring people and teaching them how to start their own creative business. So how I can keep doing that, not just through YouTube and in a way that's more long-term, I would like to do. So I'm really working on the marketing online, you know, digital products, and I'm working on a course. So right now it's, how do I make that more sustainable, like, for myself, and provide more concrete information and value, really help people, that because I can't really do that in 10 minutes on YouTube, and people aren't interested in watching that in 10 minutes on YouTube. So for the people that really care, how can I share everything I know and just get all that out of the way? So that's my current end goal, that I think I would have something set up maybe in the next like 5 years. So I'm
trying to provide value
long term,
also
in a more passive income kind of way, yeah. because, you know, Chris and I are married. Eventually we're going to have kids. I can't be shooting all the time.
I can't wait for that when you're just weird. Pregnant and doing videos.
Pregnant and filming. It's gonna be awesome. And it's going to be a weird thing for you guys to watch. Please keep watching.
That's going
to
be great.
But we'll see. Like, I have a lot of interests, a lot of hobbies. And so we'll see what happens. I think I'll always be working for myself. I think I'll always be a creative person. I'll always be running my own business. Maybe I'll start something else. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. It's really interesting. There's like a whole new industry being born, you know, this creator industry, all this, but we have no idea where it's going to lead us to. Like, we don't, like, is Logan Paul going to be like the CEO of the Facebook of the future? Is he, you know, like, is that what's gonna happen?
Did you know you would be here even like 2 years ago?
I'm constantly being surprised that, like, oh wait, what, I get to do this? Or like, oh, this is a possibility? Or like, you know,
exactly, constantly sometimes surprised. our you know, wildest dreams don't even, like, we've exceeded them in a shorter amount of time. So 100%. You just got to leave the doors open to see, like, what you're interested in, what you want to do, and just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
That's why I've always been a little bit, like, when somebody, like, asks you, like, what's your dream? Like, you know, what do you want to do with your life?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. And, like,
yep.
I didn't put it like this back then, but, like, it's really hard to imagine the best scenario for your life.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and you, like, the best thing that you can imagine, you can actually achieve that probably a lot easier than you think.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably like 10 levels above that that would be even better for you, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm realizing. Like, when I start filming, I'm like, I can get paid to go to a wedding and shoot this and, like, you know, hang out with people. And this is fun. This is great.
This is a sweet job.
Yeah. And then, like, oh, I can get paid to shoot for, like, I shot just a morning. I got paid $3,000 to shoot for Nike. Like, this is incredible. And then it's like, oh, I can get paid to make my own videos, like my stupid own videos. Like, people will watch this and, like, say they're inspired, and, like, I can change people's lives, so they're saying, like, you know, and like, what's the next thing? I don't know. Like,
I don't
you know?
Know. And I think for me, it's always going to come back to core values, which are, I want a life that happens outside of work, and I want a job or a business that revolves around my life and not the other way around.
Yeah.
So whatever allows me to do that is what I'm going to do. It just so happens it's something that I really enjoy and is fulfilling at the same time. And I think that also comes with having a way to give back to other people. So with those core things in mind, like, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But I think you got to leave the opportunity door open and just you roll with the punches. Like, I had no idea this was going to be my job, man. I had no idea. And
how
here
could
we?
Yeah.
But it fits perfectly. Looking back, it makes a lot of sense why I like this and why I'm good at it. So
Well, congrats on all the success.
And you too, friend.
I'm looking forward to what you end up doing next.
Thanks.
And thanks for coming on the podcast. We got to have again sometime.
Happy to. Yeah.
Maybe once you're pregnant, then you can give us some updates
on it. Yeah, I'll let you know. Keep waiting, though.
Yeah. Anytime now. See you guys.
Thanks.